Blog Talk Radio.
You know what's all about the power!
FTW Future Focus is back on the air. Boy, it's been a long layoff, I can tell you that.
Man, hasn't it? What a great way to kick off the show, though.
What's up? It's going down. Oh, man. This is your host, Sebastian Matt Bob Rogers. With me, I have from Facebook, Midwest Wrestling Group, the man, the one, the only, Tony Motown. Only Tony, what's up?
What's going on? How you feeling?
Man, I'm trying to hang in there, man. I'm trying to hang in there. It's been wild. It's been straight wild. It's been seriously wild. What have you been up to?
Well, as you know, I'm in Indy now since the last time we did this.
Yes. Yes. How are you liking that?
Actually, loving it. I love it here. Tina absolutely loves it here. No, we're definitely happy to be here.
That's cool. All right. Also, on our list, we can't do nothing without this gentleman. He is the VP of Future Talent of Wrestling. He has also been featured since we've been gone on IWTV. The man, the commentator, the man with the golden voice, the man that makes Jim Ross sound like a turtle. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, what? Who could go that far, Bobby? Wow. But I appreciate the sentiment, though, sir. I really do.
Hey,
yes,
oh,
our not-so-humble correspondent Robert Black is right here, and it's good to be here. Sorry to hear that you're having a rough Christmas, but it's been kind of rough for everybody.
Yeah, it's been nuts, man, all of this pandemic.
Yeah,
and
yeah, I know.
You
it's,
can do this.
It's been a tough it's been a tough year, but it's a new year, and we're still here. That was an unintentional run.
Yeah, that's true. But hey, at least we've been lucky to have that happen. And you've got some amazing stories under your belt. I know that one already. We're gonna discuss one of those later. And
okay.
Also, I don't know if she's on the line. Is she on the line?
Yeah, I'm here. Hello.
One step, ladies and gentlemen. Hell has frozen over. The woman that loves Jericho, Jeff Hardy, the woman that is, I got to say, she's one of the most informative fans there is, sweetheart, very knowledgeable, and crazy at the same time. Ty, what's up, Ty?
Hey, everybody. I do want to let y'all know a little something. I may be sweet,
uh-oh,
but don't cross me.
Uh-oh.
I'm letting y'all know now. But hey,
uh-oh,
what's up? What's going on? Let's get down with the get down.
It seems like the pandemic has changed a lot. Golly. Woo. He kind of scared me with that. A lot more than the pandemic.
Yeah, hey, I got the message.
Yeah, I did too, in triplicate. Mm-hmm. Man. I'm learning what that is, Tony. Triplicate. Yeah, that's I've been educated on that for the last like 2.5 weeks. Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
But honestly, it's good to be back. I want to say on the behalf of all of us, we missed you guys. We really did miss doing this podcast. Fortunate events came up to where we started going ahead and we could do this again. So we all gather around. So right now what we're going to do is we're just going to eclipse this last year into one episode. It's been a lot going on. We've had the pandemic. We have shows where there were no fans. Fans where there were no shows. I mean, it's been nuts this year. And the wrestling landscape has changed in so many dynamic ways. I mean, we have AEW that came out strong. We have WWE that
It's been interesting.
Yeah.
We just try to hope the good outweighs the bad, or at least the good keeps it interesting and kind of make you overlook the bad.
That's true, but we're going to get into some of that good and bad in a second. I mean, ROH went out of business for a few months. Impact is still Impact. I mean, yeah. And the most surprising thing to me was the NWA. I know we don't get to watch it a lot because it's really not on TV, but I want to reflect on them real quick starting off. I personally, especially for the last time we talked, Nick Aldis was the champ, and I was thinking that the NWA would have really flourished and came out to be a major, what would you say, a major player in the game, but surprisingly, they're not. I mean, Rob? Let's start with you. What would you take on the NWA and their progression or lack of progression so far?
Okay, I think the issue is that I think Billy Corgan is trying to slow build too slowly. If you understand what I'm saying. When he first bought the company, he took his sweet time reestablishing it and remodifying it. And he stuck to mostly studio work, which is fine considering that he wants to work on a shoestring budget and he wants to build up new talent and unknowns and use people that haven't been used for quite a while. And that's a good strategy for the most part, but I think that he's been taking too much time, and that's really why the NWA hasn't been the driver that we thought that it was going to be at first. But I watched the Hard Times 2 pay-per-view. I got it for free. Don't ask me how. And there's a lot of potential there. It's just that they don't, for whatever reason, they're too oriented on establishing what they've already got instead of expanding. And I thought what I think that we all expected from them was that they were going to immediately try to become major league players, but they just haven't. And I think that's because Corrigan wants to take his time for whatever reason.
Good point. Very good point. I can see what you're saying there. I'm going to hold my comments. Go ahead, Tony. What would you say about the NWA and the progression or lack of progression? Or do you agree with Rob? Do you think they're slow build? Or do you think
it's probably definitely a slow build. I mean, for me, I haven't got my eyes on it. So I know NWA from like what people have mentioned in the group. I know we got people in the group who keep up with it. I usually read results and read what happens, but I don't really get to to actually see it though, but it does seem like it moves slow though. So it's like I think Rob is probably dead on it. Like he's trying to do a slow build, and it's probably because so much criticism has hit WWE on how they rush stuff. So maybe that's why he had the mindset of taking his time. But yeah, it seemed like it's slow, like too slow.
Well, Ty, the NWA, what's your feelings on that?
Okay, I'm going to be completely honest. I don't watch the new NWA like some of the people in the group, but I do agree what Tony and Robert are saying about it regarding the slow build. I feel like Corgan basically wants to take his time, you know, building it up little by little. I think he wants to let it marinate when it comes to the slow build, you know what I mean? I can't give my personal take on it, but I keep up with it every now and then, not like watching it or anything, but, you know, when it comes to the stories on it, I keep up with it that way, so.
Right.
Well, they've got some really decent. Oh, I'm sorry, Bobby. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh, okay. The thing that is positive about the NWA is that they've got a whole lot of people that have never been seen or have not been overly utilized over the last 5 years or so. And they are, like Ty said, they are building storylines, and they're doing it well. It's just that they're not in any hurry, for whatever reason, to get bigger exposure. They're staying on YouTube. They're staying on, they're staying on online platforms, and so they're not able to catch up with other promotions. I mean, even Impact has a national TV deal, but for some reason, the NWA, the oldest promotion in the world, does not. So I'm not really sure what Billy Corgan is shooting for, but I can't really say anything against him because he's the millionaire and not me.
Okay. I have a question for you, because one thing that I was real interested with NWA was them taking the title off of Nick Adonis and putting it on Trevor Murdoch. How do you think that move was for them as far as trying to move the needle?
Trevor Murdoch, I believe, is going to be a transitional champion. I don't think he's going to have the belt anywhere as near as long as Aldis did. They're going to put it on him for another 6 months until they've built up another monster heel. Because Aldis, as NWA champion, was just untouchable. There was nobody who could have carried the promotion like him. And until they find another heel on his level, they're going to keep the title on Murdoch until they can transition, but I don't think it's going to be very long.
Okay.
Now let me step in here on this right quick. See, this is where you guys don't want to criticize Billy Corgan. I am. I'm just going to be straightforward with it. I do get the slow build. I do agree with the slow build. There's a thing of cooking in a smoker and cooking with hot water running up under the sink when you're at the home and you ain't got nothing else, you ain't got no gas on. You know what I'm saying? I'm serious. It bothers me because if you're trying to do a slow build, you still should get people that's going to be attracted to your product to watch over. It's not like the NWA was something that was watched, you know, and it was just like secondarily watched like Impact was or AEW is. You know, it's been kind of like out of the eyesight of a lot of people. And in today's day and age, you have to have your product seen. You have to have eyes on that product. And you have to have names to attract those eyes to that product. Billy Corgan has not made any moves whatsoever to get a big name like AEW has. Ring of Honor has tried to do it a few times even, to where, okay, this guy's going to be at our Fed. This guy's going to be showing up doing this, this, and this. And, oh, man, I want to see him wrestle. Cool. AEW, perfect example. CM Punk, Bryan Danielson. They've gotten old boy from Ring of Honor, which, yeah, we're going to go to that in a second. That, yeah, Jay Lethal.
I think that's I think it's part of the reason why I kind of asked about Trevor Murdoch, because there's not a lot of eyes on the product. And when I heard that Trevor Murdoch took the title from Adonis, that just wasn't really the title chance that made me say, hey, I want to check it out.
See, yeah, I mean, honestly, like myself, I would watch Trevor Murdoch because I like the technical aspects of wrestling a lot more than the showmanship. I am really into that technical aspect. But the average fan is not going to look at it the way I look at it. The average fan is going to be like, who the heck is Trevor Murdoch? Oh, he was in WWE and he was a slouch. Okay, forget it. You know what I'm saying? They don't look
at
him. They don't look at
him. That's exactly it, yeah.
You know, they don't look at him as a major player, which is sad, because I think Trevor Murdoch does deserve it. But if you're going to put Trevor Murdoch in that position to win that belt, you should have a story out there that really brings him out.
Well, let me ask a question of everyone here. Now, let me ask a question of everyone here. Is the problem that the NWA is too old school for its own good at this point in time? Is that part of the problem, or is that way off the mark? Are they too old school right now?
Tony, go ahead.
I don't really think they're too old school. It's just they got to do something to push the deal to get people get people to like make the effort to watch it, though. So
it's
I think it's more like they need like, yeah. Because I think old school can still work, though, because it's like a lot of people don't like how things are, though. So people still appreciate old school, though. So I don't think it'd be I don't really look at it as being too old school. I don't think being old school is a turnoff, though, because a lot of people like old school.
Yep. Sure do. How can I say this without sounding like a jerk? Yeah, that's kind of hard for me.
don't worry about that part. We just came back, so we don't need to sugarcoat anything.
My thing is this. If I have as much money as Billy Corgan do, now don't get me wrong, he don't have as much as Gangsta Khan over there. You know what I'm saying? He ain't got that much money as Tony Khan. But that man can sit up there and put on a decent product that's a lot better than what it is. Like the Briscoes. The Briscoes, to me, shouldn't be going to AEW. They should be going to the NWA. You know what I'm saying? Jay Lethal is another one I think they should have went to the NWA. Even though I love to see him in AEW, I think the NWA should have been a spot they went to, highlighted, and carried. And unfortunately, I don't know if it's Billy Corgan not having scouts out there in his ear, like, dude, listen, bro, you got Jay Lethal. You need to get that man. You know, you need to get the Briscoes. You need to get this. And I don't think he has that. I think he's a one-man operation that really doesn't understand the talent that's out there and the value of it, because you got to spend money to make money. You know? I don't think he has that concept. I think he thinks, okay, I can do this without spending all this money, and it's not turning out to be what he was trying to pull off. So that's a bag of on its own. We'll talk about the NWA more later. Ring of Honor is another one I want to hit on real quick. What the heck, man? Shut down for 3 months?
I thought they were going on hiatus for a couple of months.
That's what I was saying. They shut down, hiatus, you know, temporary insanity. I don't, you know, whatever you want to call it. I mean, I got a problem. I have a problem with it because, well, I can't say I have a problem with it. I feel bad for them because they did the right thing during the pandemic. You know, they paid their workers. They kept paying them. You know what I'm saying? That is the one thing that as a booker and an owner, I've always done. I've made sure that the money was there for the guys. And if the guys said, hey, you know, we know it's been a rough show or whatever here, take this, that's on them. You know what I'm saying? But it's been a rule always give your guys what the guys are worth. And
yeah,
I stand up to Ring of Honor and I salute Ring of Honor for what they did, but to the purpose of where they got to shut down for a few months, somebody should have pumped the brakes, got everybody together and talked to everybody. I think they should have had a big discussion and discussed the situation and like, look, this is what will happen if we keep doing this. You know, can we do something in the middle here to where everybody's happy? You know, they went too far on that spectrum where WWE was on the other side of the spectrum. Cut, put the money in my pocket. I don't care if your kid don't have nothing to eat, you know, stuff like that.
Don't care if it's Christmas time or not. You gone.
Boy, tell me about it. That was crazy. You know, but Ring of Honor, of course, their main players are Briscoes, Jay Lethal, and it's one other person that for some reason my brain is not computing and I forgot to write down. So that's my bad. But we got the champ, Jay Lethal, and we got the Briscoes. Both are looking like they're going to AEW. Now, I said I thought they would be better with the NWA. Do you agree or disagree, or do you think they should have went somewhere else?
I think they've been good for NWA.
Well, let's start off with Ty. Let Ty go first this time.
Okay. I'm going to be really honest, but I think the Briscoes should have went somewhere else. Besides, other than AEW,
really?
I think they should have, yes. Because I think they should have did, I think they would have went to either GCW or NWA, any of those other companies besides AEW. Don't get me wrong. I want to see them boys in AEW also, but I do think I want to see them in other companies also. That's just me. That's just my two cents. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
All right. Yeah. Well,
Ty, I think you're actually going to get your wish because the Briscoes, I saw them in GCW. They've moonlighted other places, and AEW lets their people do that. They let their workers take independent dates. Moxley was a GCW champion until just recently when he had to go into rehab. But I've been trying to figure out what ROH is doing, and I think there's only really three possibilities. Either A, they're completely done, which even though they still have their TV deal and with Sinclair and they're not officially dead, it's quite possible that they're going to go the route the AWA did, which would be sad because I love ROH. Two, somebody like Billy Corgan or a Rich fan could have bought the rights to the company, and they're going to revamp it and revert back to their old business model from pre-Sinclair days and keep the TV deal. It's just Sinclair won't own them anymore, and that's why the transition. Or three, they could have been bought out by Tony Khan or even Vince McMahon, and ROH is going to become a farm system for one or the other, which means we would see AEW stars filtered in to ROH if Tony Khan bought it, and they're going to use it as the same way that Florida Championship Wrestling was prior to NXT. Those are the three things I see for ROH. But they're not officially dead until they lose the deal with Sinclair. If they lose the TV deal, they're done. But it's really hard to tell at this point.
I got you. Ty, go ahead. I mean, not Ty, but God, doggy. Tony, go ahead.
if you're right and they are brought out, I would hope that it's by AEW and not them. Because I don't think he'd be using a farm system. I think he would just buy it and kill it. because he get NXT. So, but I mean, that would be great. I think that would be good for. I think it would be good for AEW though, especially considering I mean, one reason I don't really like the Briscoes in AEW is they get, in my opinion, more talent than TV time. And I don't really think that the Briscoes could really shine. I mean, as much as I love the Lucha Brothers, who are the tag team champs, I don't think we get enough for them. But it's like they have too much talent in AEW right now. So that's why I really don't want to see the Briscoes there, because I don't think they're going to get enough exposure there. I think NWA probably dropped the ball and not going for them. The Briscoes got that name that could have really helped get some eyeballs in their product, though. But if it is what it is, where, like, you know, Tony Khan maybe brought them out to make them, like, their developmental program, I think that'd be huge. I think that'd be phenomenal. But my gut kind of say that it's done with ROH. Like, when I heard about the hiatus and maybe back in a few months, my gut tells me that they're done. And even if they come back in a few months, I mean, their guys need to eat. Their guys need to work and everything, though. So it's like, they might, even if they come back in a few months, who's going to be there?
Right. I got you. This is my thing. I don't think I would like to see them in NWA, and they built their tag team division up. But I'm just gonna be straight up with you, man. I do want to see them in AEW, and you know why? It's two teams that I think they need someone like the Briscoes in there. One is one you mentioned, Tony. I know you like the Lucha Brothers, but they're getting on my nerves now. I don't know what it is, but it's like I'm seeing the same exact thing over and over and over and over and over again. And it's bugging me.
They're getting too flashy.
It's not just too flashy. It's just the same thing. It's like they're telling the same story over and over again. And it's like, I understand you have your trademark change. I'm down with it. I'm cool.
You know what? I'm halfway there with you. I'm okay with Rey Fénix, but I'm kind of getting sick of Penta. Penta is getting too showbiz, and it's kind of distracting from the match.
It's just the fact of it's two boys that I want to see get beat down bad, and they already crapped on FTR.
Yeah.
Which is the best tag team, period. And that's the Young Bucks. I want the Briscoes to go in there and show them up that you ain't even the second best tag team in this place. You ain't even the third best tag team. Actually, I don't even know why you're here. I think Tony Khan should just really get rid of them. And, hey, WWE ain't going to pick them up. You know?
Nah, this is small.
Well, not only that, they're a tag team, so they can get away with the smallness. It's just the fact of they, and this is something that I've seen that I've seen in the indie scene, and I don't know if Rob can agree with me or not, because I don't know how much Rob's been in the locker room, but I've been in locker rooms, and I've seen to where you have people that have been in the business for a while, and then there are tag teams or people that are coming up as singles that are real good, and they use that veteran status to keep going over when they shouldn't. And the Young Bucks remind me of that so much, because there's been a couple of matches where I'm like, the Young Bucks got to lose this one. The Young Bucks got to lose this one. And they like winning, and doing goofy stuff. Dude's got on a face mask like he was at basketball play on the Lakers back in the day. You know, I mean, it's like, why? Your stories don't even make sense. If they weren't executive VPs, I don't think they would be as popular as they are right now. I think they would have gotten told to leave a long time ago.
When it comes to the Young Bucks, you do have a point that they are kind of they're kind of drifting into Triple H territory. where they know they're untouchable and therefore they get away with more goofiness than the rest of the roster does. And it's starting to show. What? That was that?
You said drifting? I think
yeah.
that ship is where they got a hole in the middle of the whole ocean.
Well, they're not quite there. They're still having good competitive matches. The problem is, that cage match with the Luchas was fantastic, I thought.
It was.
They still give stuff to the best friends, which is another thing entirely. But it's not that their matches are horrible. It's just that they're doing more goofy crap than should be allowed at their level, and it's starting to drag down their performances, especially since Cole replaced Omega as their third man.
Yeah. Kind of, sort of. Yeah. I actually think the Young Bucks is bringing Omega down. You know, I looked at what Omega was doing, and he was getting involved, and it was starting to bring him down. Omega
see,
has never been that goofy.
When the Bucks are in there with somebody who they have to take serious and that forces them to be serious, they have fantastic matches, which I agree. I would love to see the Briscoes go in there with them because they're not gonna pull the same goofy falderal that they do against Orange Cassidy or against anybody like on the upper mid card. If the Briscoes get in there and they pull that kind of thing, they're going to get ed up like pumpkin pie.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. But it's more to it with the Young Bucks. I think they have too much control. I'm glad to see Tony Khan like taking more control and taking that away from them because they have been on some stuff that just don't make no sense, man. It don't make no sense whatsoever. And they've really damaged the AEW tag team division, which is one of the things I want to talk about later on. But let's get off of ROH. Ah, my goodness. Now, let's go to the one that just shocks me the most. It just seems like, and we're going to be on this one for a while. I've heard of shooting yourself in the foot. But cutting your foot off and then trying to run a 100-yard dash, and then saying you're the best. I don't know whether to call them blind, handicap, or what, but WWE is really shocking the crap out of me of how terrible it went down. I thought it couldn't get any worse. And after what they did with NXT, it's gotten way worse. I think you guys can hear the frustration in my voice when it comes to it.
And it's funny because the one thing with NXT, and it is a challenge to watch.
It is
frustrating. They have glimpses of I can kind of see what they're trying to do, but it's like they're doing more harm than good.
Oh yeah. Let me ask y'all this. All right. Oh, and everybody's going to say, you know, I'm a WWE hater and blah, 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 which I'm not. I just don't like what they're doing. What would you think is the biggest reason for all these so-called cuts?
This man lost touch and listened to the wrong people.
Okay. So, would Rob, Ty, would you agree with that?
I actually agree with it, with what Tony was saying, because I feel like WWE's letting, oh God, this is very, very hard for me to say, but a little hard for me to explain. I'm just going to leave it at this. I do agree with what Tony is saying, and I'm just going to leave it at that. Because if I try to explain it, I'm going to confuse everybody. So I'm just going to say I agree with Tony with everything that's going on with WWE.
Okay. Raw, what you
want to say? I admit, though, it's Visa for you to watch NXT and Raw right now, though.
That I agree with. Yeah, because I haven't watched until this week when you asked me to. I haven't been, I have been completely like off of the WWE product. But number one, even though NXT is still the best thing they got, it's still lacking. You can tell where the old school way of doing things for NXT begins and where the new stuff they're trying to inject begins. And and that logo looks like Walt Disney puked.
I said the same thing.
Yeah.
It looked like the Disney Channel took, to me, the difference between the new NXT logo and the one they used to have. The one they used to have, I actually liked it better than the one now.
I loved it, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like the one they have now because it looks like Disney went the hip-hop route. That's what the new logo looks like to me. It looks like Disney, Migos, Wale, whoever these mumble rappers are, did a collaboration, and the logo just looks like Disney and hip hop did a collaboration.
That's a bad collaboration. That's a terrible collaboration.
But, okay, here's what I think is going on. Everything that looks insane with the WWE right now makes perfect sense if you look at it through this lens. Vince McMahon is going to be 80 years old in just a few years.
Yeah.
And I believe that he doesn't want to leave his company in the hands of Stephanie or Triple H, and I don't think Shane even wants it. And while Linda McMahon was a part of the federal government, I think that she found out that there were antitrust investigations pending against the WWE because Uncle Sam would like another crack at them. So what I think is happening is that before Vince retires, he is going to sell the WWE, and he's going to sell it to either NBC, Universal, or General Electric. And before that happens, he is making extreme budget cuts that only make sense if he's trying to make the company look more attractive for a sale to GE. And that would explain why they've gotten rid of everybody but the people that they think are proven. That's why Lesnar has reemerged. That's why
reemerged.
Well, the hillbilly Lesnar reemerged, but that's the point is they're trying to make the company more attractive for sale, and they're cutting costs wherever they can. I mean, you see how bare bones NXT is now. I mean, they scaled back on the production too, and that's another sign. And Raw and SmackDown both look as cheap as they can possibly make them. The thing is that the people that they've still kept can still put on great matches, but the sad part of it is it's like watching those shows is like swimming through a sewer pipe to find diamonds.
Oh, God.
Let me take the
one thing though, I question their budget cut though. I mean, yeah, they are cutting people for a budget cut, but some people are earning too much money that don't need to be there. Like, I thought what they did with Hit Row was stupid to call them up just to cut them. And I think Hit Row is probably a bigger part and have a bigger impact on the show than like a Bobby Roode and a Dolph Ziggler. If you're going to cut people for a budget cut, Roode and Ziggler are not really bringing much to the table. I think Hit Row have more to offer than Roode and Ziggler, and they would have offered more for less money.
Hold on, wait.
The way WWE uses Dolph Ziggler and Bobby Roode, I'm talking from like money they make versus what they're doing. Hit Row makes way less money. The foreigner way makes way less money than like Roode and Ziggler, for example. I'm just using them as an example as far as like their decision with money and everything.
But
Hit Row got more years ahead of them. I mean, Roode and Ziggler are up there as well too.
I see what you mean about the salary. I'm not denying the numbers. You can't deny numbers.
I'm looking at salary, age as well too. Like how many do we realistically see another run out of either one of those guys in WWE?
If they treated them right, yeah, I can see it. The problem is they haven't.
Let me rephrase that. Do you see another run out of either one of those guys the way they do treat them?
No, not the way they do things.
That's why I'm figuring into it, though. I mean, I'm not looking like, okay, talent versus talent. I'm like looking at their age. I'm looking at their salaries. I'm looking at how WWE's actually been using them for the last few years.
Okay.
They're not going to get any younger, and WWE's is not going to use them any better than they have for the last few years.
Well, I get what you're saying.
And I just kind of threw them out there. I'm not saying, like, okay, it should have been them. I'm just kind of using them as talent, salary, age, reference, and that whole thing.
No, I get what you're saying. And this is something me and you are going to have a discussion on here. Well, we're going to take over the discussion on something. And let's do that now. And Rob, I mean, if you want to, and Ty, you can chime in if you want or not. I'm looking at WWE, okay? And I mean, you can't deny numbers again, okay? There's no way. Now, even though I don't think Hit Row was nowhere near the talent caliber of Bobby Roode and Dolph Ziggler, I just don't think that. I mean, B-Fab needs to be in the ring some more. I mean, just be real. Big Dude, I don't see that big dude doing nothing. It was more the smaller dude that I was looking at that could have made the splash, but they were looking at the big guy, and I'm like, why?
I mean,
who?
I didn't understand that either, because when they got called up, Isaiah Scott was, I was expecting him to get the push, and then it was kind of like, no, we're going to flip this and make it about the big guy. It was like, okay, well, that's typical Vince.
I mean, it was stupid, and my thing is that,
yeah.
When you sit up here and you have talent, now I don't agree with B-Fab. I don't like Hit Row. I'm just going to be 100%. I did not like Hit Row. I never could stand Hit Row. It was too choreographed. It was too. I want to be spoken word. You know, it was ridiculous. Spoken word number one is supposed to be done by one person. Let one person or two people do that. You don't have a whole group doing it. It's just ridiculous, and it just made it look stupid. Whoever did it, whoever had them do it, did not know how to frame their direction right. That's the first thing. Second of all, though, if you notice, you have Hit Row, you have Keith Lee, excellent talent.
Oh, God. Don't even get me started on Keith Lee.
You have Sasha Banks.
And Keith,
crapped on.
I mean,
yeah,
Keith Lee was a real example, like, because it's not like Keith Lee was breaking their bank.
Mm-mm. No, there wasn't.
And how was the potential in the world?
Hold on. Sasha Banks is a great talent, and they do her halfway. Bianca Belair was, I mean, if I ever seen diarrhea in my life, that's what that was. That was diarrhea. I mean, another one, another one, another. I know she got hurt, but that girl was awesome. And I'm telling you, whoever picks her up is going to have a diamond that they forgetting. Everybody talking about Ruby Soho? No. Ember Moon was another one.
Yes.
That was on the chart.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it seems like, and I hate saying this, and I'm probably going to get some flack on Facebook, and I'm probably going to get some flack. You're hearing it from maybe one of you guys. But it seems like WWE, and I'm going to say it, unless you are rapping, dancing, a pimp, some type of voodoo god or something, that if you're, or you're beat, just one of these thugs is out here beating up somebody, you cannot make it as an African-American wrestler in WWE. And it sucks. I mean, they treat African-American wrestlers and women like trash.
And I mean, if you think about it, New Day got over despite what they did, not because of what they did.
Right. And that's what people don't understand. They're like, well, why did they wear that goofy gimmick? No, they was given that gimmick. And they persevered because that gimmick was given to them so they could get fired.
Yes.
Soon as they failed in that, they was gonna try to let all three of them go. And look what happened. Two of them were world champions now, and one of them they crapped on with the world championship. They crapped on the other one right now. You know, I hate saying it, but I'm coming to a point of looking and saying they don't want. And then now it's like, okay, now we're trying to separate the brands. If you notice. When it comes to Raw, just like Ty said, or NXT, it's more like a hip-hop thing. Oh, the two lore shows, we'll let you guys, you know, progress them, whatever. SmackDown? Not so much. Oh, where are the superstars, black superstars of SmackDown? Sasha Banks? I mean, I'm hearing crickets because I'm saying?
Okay. Oh, well, there's another black superstar on SmackDown that's just getting completely shitted on a completely stupid angle, and that's Naomi.
The only
thing
that's happened on her is Naomi is mainly because of the storyline she's got going on with. So
it's a horrible storyline they got her in.
It's a crap storyline, and they shouldn't have never did it from the beginning. And I've been saying this since SmackDown 3. Put Naomi with the bloodline.
Yeah.
I agree.
So I have been saying that, and I've been agreeing with it.
Here's
the problem I had with the storyline with Naomi. Like, you do this build to lead to a match with the return of Sonya Deville, who nobody really cares if she returns or not. So what's the real payoff of that?
Boy.
Like, if this was a feud you building up to, like, the return of, like, Stephanie McMahon in the ring, or if Paige was the one in charge and you might be leading to something like that, I would get it. But Sonya Deville, you got her in a feud with Sonya Deville? You're shitting on her for Sonya.
I don't know. Sonya needs to go somewhere. I mean, I think she needs to just disappear, train, and then come back. This story is just terrible. It's ridiculous. But I mean, honestly, look at the numbers of talented African American. I mean, even somebody that I respect a lot. His name is, and everybody knows who he is, Jim Cornette. Couldn't even get into Keith Lee. I think Jim Cornette said he sounds like somebody that was off of that psychiatrist off of Friends. And it's like, well, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with having an intelligent black guy on TV that could get aggression when somebody ticked him off? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Why do we got to be going around dancing and rapping and talking about what's up 35 million times before we get to the ring and then lose?
Let's be honest about the system that the WWE has set up here. It is incredibly gimmick heavy, And even now, it's interview heavy. I mean, on Raw, with the way that they did Miz TV, it felt like it took up half the damn show. And the
yeah.
stuff they're doing with, yeah, it's just, and you talk about the racial element of it. That's always been there since the day Vince McMahon took the company over. And I don't even think that it's intentional. I think that it's just there's only a certain collage of gimmicks in Vince McMahon's mind that fit the mold of his show, and the prejudice that he shows or that his writers show for African Americans is almost incidental in comparison to the cookie-cutter approach that they take with storylines. One example that I will cite is Ricochet. It is a damn crying shame that Ricochet has not gone farther in that company than he has. And he was the best part of that damn 12-man 12-man
roster
that they had.
He was by far the best. By
yeah.
far.
Are y'all talking about the 12 Days of Xmas Battle Royal?
Yeah, the 12-man gauntlet match, yeah.
Yeah, I watched that.
I don't want to see any wrestler lose their job, especially around the holidays, but I wish they would just release Ricochet, though, because they're wasting him.
I am so dumb.
Go ahead. But I want to
ask you guys this. What if Lucha Underground was still around and
Ricochet
was there as Chris Puma? Okay, hear me out, guys. What if Lucha Underground was still around in 2021 and Ricochet was still there as Prince Puma? Do you think he would have gotten a bigger push there rather than him getting a less push on WWE now? If Lucha Underground was still around.
Actually, even when Lucha was around, he got a bigger push. He was the face of that show.
He was like the star of the show with Prince Puma.
Thank you, but see, this is the point that I'm making. Look at the adult producers and look at the producers of the WWE. I don't think, and you're right, I can't say as Vince McMahon, you know what I'm saying? But it makes me really think, when you have somebody like Triple H there that knows about what goes on in them locker rooms and how these writers are doing and stuff like that, and he don't step up and say something. I'm surprised Hold on. I'm surprised Stephanie, who is all about women empowerment and equality, hasn't did anything to stop and say, hey. The one person that actually stepped up and said something all of a sudden was vilified, if you remember. Remember Charlotte Flair said, hey, I don't think I should lose to this girl. This girl is on momentum. Whenever she was talking about Bianca Belair, she's like, this girl has a momentum. Let her win. Let her beat me for the Raw Championship. Blah, 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 blah. And they didn't do it?
Yeah. Because Charlotte Flair, and That's that Ric Flair mindset, because Ric Flair understood the way you make money is build other stars. So Charlotte Flair was dead on money on that, though, because she puts her over. That's what's up a bigger payday down the road.
Yep. Exactly.
WWE is the opposite of NWA. They rush everything. They want everything like now.
Yeah, and true. When they don't get it right away, they drop something as soon as they the women's division was getting a huge push. They even got their own pay-per-view, but now they've gone back to basically a mid-card status when they could have had their own show. But now, if something doesn't automatically click and make tons of money right off the bat, WWE will kill it. And
actually, what they need to do with the women division, just have them on one, like, just have them on one show.
Yeah, it's a short-sighted kind of vision, and it has to do with more of a TV mentality than it does a wrestling mentality.
That's true. But let me say this. I honestly don't even think that they want the woman's thing to go through. I think he did that as a favor to Stephanie, and then found every excuse just to say no. And the writers came in and did that. I think Stephanie pushed for it. She saw it wasn't going to win because he listened to the writers, and she let it go. But I also think that the women could carry their own show, and they probably outrate the men's shows right about now.
Yeah.
They have some very talented ladies over there. My thing about the ladies right now is Doudrop. Now, Bianca is another story, and we'll get to that in a second, but Doudrop. That girl got some skills.
She has always had skills.
Piper is good. I ain't going to call her Piper. Piper's bad.
Because Piper is a girl that I started liking. When I was watching NXT UK, I was really impressed with her.
They better give her the title. They better give her the title, and they need to give it to her now.
They'll put her up in a position to take on Charlotte or Becky, but they're not going to give her the belt. I wish they would.
She's on Raw right now. They're not going to take the title off of Becky and put it on her, which is a damn shame because she'd be a better Raw Women Champion than that bitch Becky.
Yeah, Piper Niven has the same problem that Keith Lee did. She's ultra talented, but she just doesn't have the body type that they want. And I think that was the major problem with Keith Lee. He had the right attitude. He's a badass. He's got every skill imaginable. It's just that he has too much girth for his height. And that's something Vince McMahon has a problem with.
Yeah, and it's not that, it's him. It's Vince McMahon and the way he looks at it.
Mm-hmm. And the people that he surrounds himself with, you know.
Well, that's because he surrounds himself with Yes Man, who's just going to, like tell him, like, oh, yeah, Vince, that you're dead on money. Nobody had the balls to tell Vince McMahon he's wrong.
Yeah, but a bunch of cosmetic TV people who are more interested in what the workers look like instead of what they can do. And that's been a major problem with WWE for decades now.
So basically what Robert is saying is WWE is, you know, when he says, when he says something about cosmetic, like how they look at the talent, basically he's saying that WWE goes based off on looks is what he's trying to say.
Yeah,
they do.
Oh, absolutely. Piper Niven does not look like a supermodel.
And I absolutely agree.
Yeah, but she should be pushed to the top because she has superior skills to half the ladies in the locker room. But they're not going to push the needle with her because she doesn't look like Eva Marie. And you notice that woman gets more chances at a job than like anybody that the WWE has ever hired.
Oh my God. I could not stand
that.
That was the most insane thing there was to see her to try to go in there in the ring. It is the most disgusting thing when you know that girl did not have one-tenth of the talent that any of them girls had.
I don't understand why. As much as they loved her, I don't know why they just make her a valet.
No, I wouldn't even want her as a valet. She looked like a twig. The girl looked like a twig. I'm sorry. This girl was not cute to me. It was like, oh, she has different hair color. It's a stick with a different hair color. It's a mop, strands, that are different hair colors. That's what that is.
I'll say
it's
she's a redheaded Bella.
Well, yeah, everybody's got their personal tastes here, but
it's not personal taste. This is what they do all the time.
If Vince McMahon could take the woman on the cover of Vogue every month, bring her into the WWE and stick a title on her, he would. That's what they're looking for.
Yeah. And that's the problem.
Yes, that's a huge problem.
He needs to, man. I feel bad for Doudrop because I know I will be surprised if I'm not saying she don't deserve it. I think she does deserve it. I would just be surprised if they gave her the title in the right way.
I'd be shocked.
I mean,
because they got a hard on for Bex too, though. So, and I don't expect that at all.
I would love to see it, but it's probably not going to happen. At least not until there's a write-in campaign and 500,000 people demand it. But that's about the only way it's going to.
No! I'll tell you the situation of where it's going to happen, the way she's going to win. And guess who it's going to be against? And guess who it'll be against? Bianca Belair.
Probably.
Yeah.
Write it down.
Yeah.
Write it down. Write it down. I already see where it's going. Everybody's already tripping about Bianca not getting the title. Okay, so this is what we're going to do. We're going to tell two birds with one stone. Give Bianca the title, let her have a couple of matches, a couple of stories. Then we're going to promote Doudrop. Just get it over with. Get everybody out the way. And then we're going to give it back to one of our blonde bimbos.
But I have a question for Ty. Do you think that the WWE women's division is on the same or higher level as AEW's?
Guys, get your teacups ready because I'm about to spill tea. I'm about to be completely and brutally honest. WWE's women's division is nowhere near the same caliber as AEW's women's division.
Oh.
And I'm going to tell you, I will tell you guys why. Because Tony Khan doesn't cherry pick and play favorites when it comes to who he wants as women's champion. He doesn't play favorites. He gives majority of the women on that roster an opportunity. Not like WWE, where if you're not blonde or if you don't look good or you don't look like an anorexic plastic Instagram model, you're not getting your job the title. I said what I said, now y'all leave me alone. And once again, thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
Let me say this, because you know I'm in the women's wrestling. That's one of the things I respect about this business. You know, even though I would agree with 100% of what you said, I still can't say AEW's division is better than WWE's. And
I agree.
You have Charlotte Flair. I'm sorry. Thunder Rosa is real good, but she's not Charlotte Flair. You know, she's up there. I mean, don't get me wrong. I actually hold her higher than Britt Baker, and Britt Baker's a champ.
Oh, God.
Oh, yes. I hold Thunder Rosa at a very high level.
No, I'm not saying, oh, God, for that. They're talking about the Transformers variant of COVID. I wasn't saying, oh, God, for that. Everybody calm down.
Yeah.
Oh.
Are they calling it Megatron or Optimus Prime? Because I wouldn't be too scared of the Optimus Prime variant, but the Megatron variant would suck.
Yeah.
They can call this variant the Bumblebee variant, and I wouldn't care. And I didn't want to say this, but this new variant sounds like a Transformer Autobot that we don't know about.
It sounds like Soundwave's cousin.
Hey, no, it may be Soundwave. It's Starscream. This is nuts, man.
Oh, hell. But there's a difference. The reason that I ask about the two women's divisions is because it's not so much that AEW's talent is roster with the women's division is inferior to the WWE's. I mean, Becky and Charlotte are arguably the best women's wrestlers in the world, arguably. But
hold on, give me one second. Give me one second. Wait. Give me one second. Tony? Tony? Say it.
Well, I'm not going to.
Say it.
First of all, I can't stand that bitch, Becky. WWE got way more talent than Becky Lynch. I mean, sure, I would take Sasha and Bianca over Becky.
Tony, you should have called Becky.
Becky is more over than most of the women. It's hard to compare the two, and I get where Ty's coming from. AEW don't have a split female roster. The best females are on the same show. So that helps AEW. I used to hate AEW's female division. Like, when they first started, I thought it was crap. I mean, it has improved a lot over the last year or so. But Tony Khan is better with booking his women than WWE is, and the fact that they have all their best women on together versus splitting between Raw, SmackDown, and even with NXT, that gives AEW the advantage over that, though. But I think WWE has more talent in the women division. It's just they're not using it right.
Yeah, I agree with that. WWE has a deeper women's roster, but the way that they're using them is slipshod, to say the least.
Tony Khan don't have margin of error with his women's division. Like, he can't mess up. So I think he does a better job booking his women than WWE does.
He does a lot of things better than WWE. I hate saying it like that, but it's just true.
Well, there's a lot less talking on AEW, and there's more wrestling on Dynamite in 2 hours than there is on Raw in 3. I can tell you that for sure.
I mean, the one thing you mentioned, like the Miz segment, Miz TV, though, but it's just like WWE is more of the talk show. I mean, and the Miz TV is not bad if you're not going to have also like a cutting edge, and you. Like, sometimes they have, like, 3 or 4 different talk shows on the same show. That's just too much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for a 3-hour format, that's way too much.
They need to cut an hour of it anyway, though, because it's, like, it's just hard. I mean, I don't watch Raw live on purpose so I can fast forward over a lot of BS.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of
it. Yeah, that's about right.
It's a lot of it, and that's sad. And the Raws went from, like, the show you couldn't wait to watch to, yeah, I can wait to watch that one. You know, I mean, it's
Raw's become my least favorite WWE show.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, I got to say NXT is mine.
I could do NXT before Raw.
Yeah.
I can.
Yeah.
I don't know. They're about even for me. Both of them in the cellar with the door locked. I just can't
do
it.
Granted, saying that you'd rather watch NXT than Raw is like saying I'd rather sprain my ankle than break my arm. But that's still. Yeah.
That's true.
That's.
I'm depressed enough. Let's get off of WWE. Oh, man.
Yeah, please.
Let's talk about something exciting. Something that I'm going to say, when me and Rob went to that All Out, the first one was All Out?
All In. Yeah, we were at All In together. Yeah.
Okay.
I wanted to go to that show. Man, I can't imagine how that was.
Oh, that was badass. I got a funny story about Allie. That bunny.
Mm-hmm. Oh no.
Do you remember that, Rob?
Yeah, you go ahead and tell it. Go ahead and tell it. I'll chime in.
All right. So we're at the conventions and everything, and I love Rosemary. Oh, my God, I love Rosemary. I'm sorry. If I had a Fed, I know it would be other women they say could go number one, Sasha Banks, whatever, but I just have to have Rosemary. Her character is awesome. She is... To me, it takes a lot of genius to do a character that she does. And she is into it, and she does it well. So I'm like, yes, I'm going to get a picture with Rosemary. So we sit up there, we're like, how much are the pictures, right? Rob breaks down his camera. And they're like, oh, it's like 25, something like that. I don't remember what the price was. Why is it, and I could, Rob, am I right? Didn't I say I wanted a picture with Rosemary? I just didn't say I wanted a picture. I did not say specifically Rosemary.
Yes, yes, you did. In your defense, you did specifically ask for Rosemary and not Allie, but go ahead.
But we sit up there, and Allie just comes, flies next to me and smiles to take the picture, and it's like, I gave this look like, what the fuck is you doing? I don't want you, Bobby.
It was like that picture of Jim Cornette on that T-shirt he always wears. That was the look you gave her when she got into photo. Yeah.
I can't stand that girl. And I'm like, hold on. I didn't want a picture with you. I wanted it with Rosemary. And the look that she gave me was like, you dare defy this good-looking string bean sitting next to you? Yeah, I didn't want it with you.
Yeah. Well, see, Allie got pissed, and she walked off to get some air when that happened. But in Bobby's defense, he did ask for just a picture with Rosemary and not with both of them. And I'm not really sure what the issue was at the time. I think, like, Rosemary had gone on break or something, and Allie was the only one there, and she jumped into the picture just so that they could get the $30. There was some miscommunication there, but Bobby, in your defense, you did ask for just Rosemary. So the fact that Allie kind of jumped in there, I guess she thought she was doing you a favor.
That. But see, my thing is, don't be upset about it. Just, you know, hey, keep going. And she had that attitude, just like, I'd never book you for a show. I wouldn't even want you as a toothpick after I ate a steak.
Oh, my God.
That's just harsh.
Oh.
I mean, I'm just being serious. I mean, when she stood next to me, she looked so plastic, I thought it was a giant-sized Barbie doll. And I couldn't take it.
I know I'm wrong,
but I'm just telling the truth.
Here's a part of the story that you might not remember, because I think that you walked away when I did this. But the guy who was handling the money for both Allie and Rosemary, when you walked off, I on the down low bought one of their CDs in order to cover the picture, because the picture they gave for free because it wasn't the one you wanted, but I bought like a CD for them just to kind of square the whole thing away.
Oh yeah, I remember you telling me that.
Yeah, it was, but yeah, to be fair, you asked for Rosemary but the thing is, ever since they started using Allie as the bunny in AEW, I actually enjoy her doing that more than she did the other. It's more in line with her attitude toward the world, I think.
Yeah, but she's a waste of salary. I mean, I'm sorry. That's one that you could do without and you'd be fine. I would rather have, I would have Rosemary there instead of her. And what the heck happened to Abaddon?
Oh, they got her stuck on AEW Dark or Dark Elevated. But the last time I seen her, she was on an episode of Rampage when she went up against Britt Baker. And I guess it was
kind of a while ago, right? Like
dead.
About a few weeks
yeah.
ago?
No,
I remember that.
It was almost a month ago, but it was something
almost
about
a month.
If,
okay, yeah.
If
I know it was a while ago, yeah.
She got a title. She earned an AEW title shot. I think it was a Halloween episode. It was her against Britt Baker and two of her clones dressed like Walking Dead rejects.
Yeah, but I think the whole thing stemmed from the Jericho cruise. Apparently, Britt fought Abaddon on the ship, and she gave up a loss to Abaddon, and it earned her a AEW title shot because apparently
talking about, except it was different.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, my thing is that's where AEW is going to mess up. When you have gimmicks like Abaddon, WWE is good at using those type of gimmicks. Think about it. Undertaker. I mean, all these other gimmicks that they do, Abaddon could blow up in WWE.
Yeah.
You know, with their production and everything, that would be a very bad mess up that AEW would do is to let her go to WWE. They would blow her up like I don't know what. She's what they want. She well, not as far as, like, figure-wise, but as far as gimmick-wise and how over that
gimmick
would be.
The gimmick, I was trying to figure. They would get over the figure because of the gimmick because then it would be about the character.
Yeah. Right, that's what
Bobby,
I'm saying.
I am going to have to leave the show for the time being because I have something coming up here in the next few minutes. But one thing I want to leave you with is I think that you're spot on when it comes to the people that AEW needs to hold on to. But I think for them it's all about – who they want to build, not necessarily the gimmick they have. Because, I think that they're focused more on the storylines that they want to build between certain people and not necessarily what their gimmicks bring to the table. And that might cause a problem later on with people like Abaddon and with people like MJF and maybe even Orange Cassidy. But, you know, we'll see. Folks, I got to go. It was good having you. And invite me back to the next one, Bobby.
Yes, sir. We will talk later.
All right.
How's going?
All right.
It was
a pleasure, guys. Take care.
I'll see you next week.
Right on. But, you know, we were talking about the eight. I do see that AEW could slip up and they could let a couple go. That could really be big. Now, this MJF thing, I think they are suckering WWE like I don't know what. WWE is just like drooling right now, wanting them. He's making them want him, and all of a sudden, he's just going to do his heel on him and say, nah, I want AEW. You know what I'm saying? I just see that coming. I just see it coming too much. But, I mean, Cody is playing his role smart, and I never thought about that, what he was doing.
Oh, man. I just saw his match the other night on Rampage against Sammy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I ain't going to tell y'all who won because I don't know who all watched Rampage last night. So I'm going to leave it at that.
Yeah. But my thing is.
But I, But I do have to give it to, but before you say anything, I do have to give it to Sammy Guevara for, you know, keeping the TNT championship on him. To me, it feels like long enough, but he's only had it for, I guess, a short time.
Yeah, he hasn't had it long at all.
No, he hasn't.
No. But I love how Cody is doing this. And I at first thought, like, what the heck? Are you screwing up? Why are you screwing up this bad? And it's like, hold on, wait a minute. This is set up because usually if you look at villains throughout comic books, what have you, the villain is always a hero in his own mind.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
Cody is playing that for perfection, and people are not realizing that.
But my question to you is, do you think it'll possibly lead to Cody turning heel?
No, he is a heel. He's a heel right now. But his actions and everything is being a face. Because he believes he's a face, but he's really doing being a heel.
That's okay, I see where you're going with it.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So he's doing like the high Marvel type, Thanos type gimmick. I gotta destroy half
all
of you and kill half of you.
And he's good.
You said what? But I don't know. I just look at AEW, and I really.
Yeah, if y'all ever get a chance to watch Rampage, check out the Cody versus Sammy TNT Championship match, because I'm not going to give it all away, because I was the only one that watched it the other night, so.
Yeah, I watched it. I didn't watch it the other night, but I watched it. I know what happened, but, yeah, that's a good match to watch. But I got to say this. It's one person that really started to irritate me on AEW, and that was Orange Cassidy.
Oh, you mean Brian Danielson's chill brother, as I like to call him?
I don't know who that is.
No, that's what I call Orange Cassidy. He's not really Brian Danielson's chill brother, but that's what I like to call him.
Oh. Well, actually, he had a match. Who was he going against? Golly, and I'm slipping.
Was it Adam Cole?
He had a match. Yes. And I was shocked. The man can actually wrestle.
He can. He had a phenomenal match against Pac. That's when, to be honest, I've never been an Orange Cassidy fan at all. Like, I never liked him. But his match against Pac was the first time I'm just like, as much as I don't like him, he can go.
I was shocked. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute, hold on, headlock takedown like that?
Yeah.
I mean, that was perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect execution on moves. I don't know how you can get that into a gimmick, which he did it well. He did it well that night. Don't get me wrong against Adam Cole. My thing is, I don't see how you can get that gimmick over all the time with him being able to wrestle like that. He's got to give that gimmick up and go into something else. He snapped out of it or something, and now he's this wrestling machine.
Yeah.
I would like
to drop the gimmick just for the simple fact that the gimmick did make them stick out. Like, whether you liked them or you didn't like them, you knew who Orange Cassidy was. But right now, we're at the point, okay, everybody know who you are. Yeah, I would like for him to stop doing that stupid stuff and just wrestle because he's a phenomenal wrestler.
Yeah. And I wish somebody would come up with a story for that, but I just don't think nobody's going to do it. And we're going to sit up here and we're going to have another 70% goofy matches and 30% what he displayed. And I'm hoping because CM Punk and Danielson is there, that they kind of like, you know, you're a main event player here. You're going to be wrestling us. Just go, you know, you need to go and you need to wrestle and you need to do this and we need to figure a way around you. You know, I think with Punk and them being there, they brought that element out and showed that it works.
Yeah.
And it goes back to what you were saying before. People these days do appreciate old school wrestling. But my idea though is you can mix the two and it'd be perfect. If you can properly mix the two, it would be perfect. You know, just like it's a guy out here named Miles Morales. Well, I'm sorry, Don't Die Miles. He actually learned and he actually performed. He just won the New Way Pro heavyweight title. But his match was perfection. His match, he did so well because I just looked at him and was like, dude, that's awesome. You know, him against Solomon Tupu, I mean, it was the weight differences, everything that played into that. You know, he was Ricky Morton that night. He pulled it off. He was Ricky Morton that won the heavyweight title. And he's grown so much. That right there is a match, you know. But I just think of that match that threw me off. But I don't know. I just think AEW really could do. Yeah, just have to watch the P's and Q's.
Let me ask you guys this. Since this coming Wednesday is their last episode of Dynamite before they go to TBS, what do y'all think they're going to do with the TNT title? Are they going
to
keep it?
They need to put it on Jay Cargill. Oh, the TNT title.
Yeah, the TNT title. What do you think they're going to do with that? Are they going to keep it when they go to TBS, or are they going to get rid of it?
It.
How are they going to do it?
No, they keep it.
Because I was thinking about this the other night after watching Rampage. Now, the TBS women's title, who do you guys think is going to win that?
It should be Jade Cargill.
Because it's down to Jade, Ruby Soho, and Thunder Rosa. Because they just had a match recently with Ruby Soho and what's her face? I can't think of her name.
Yeah.
I want to see it come down to Ruby Soho versus Jade Cargill. I think Ruby would be a great opponent to help elevate Jade. But I think they need to put the title on Jade at this point.
Yeah.
They're not going to do it, though. It's going to be Ruby Soho. I think
it's going to be Ruby. I'm just pushing for Jade.
Yeah,
and part of my reason behind it is as much as everybody shits on WWE for how they treat African American wrestlers, what has outside of Scorpio Sky, AEW ain't really doing it either.
Oh no, they're not. They're not. I'm not saying they are. They are nowhere apart from WWE. They're not.
And I would like to see them start going in that direction and try to start separating themselves and get. I don't want to see them down the WWE path when it comes to that.
I would like them to see that too, but Jade Cargill right now, Ruby Soho, I would not mind Cargill getting it. But Soho has been going through, and her effect, and this is what's going to get her over there, is her effect on the independent. Ruby was, I'm trying to remember, I can't even remember her former name, it's been so long ago, but she was here in Indianapolis doing
Lovelace.
Show. Yeah.
She went
thank
by
you.
Heidi Lovelace.
Yeah, she was in Lafayette, and she was here in Indianapolis doing a show. And her appeal is just they could make immediate money with her. Jade Cargill is she's a heel that needs to steal it from her. You know what I'm saying? She needs to cheat and get it. I don't think. But not
have her cheat and get it and become the first the TBS champion and still work an angle where Soho still looks good. And end up down the road working a title match with Britt Baker. Because I'm not lying to you, the TDS is your mid card women's title. I can see Ruby working better with as far as a title match and a title feud with Britt.
Oh, excuse me.
I see what you said.
And you could completely have Jade Cargill cheat the win and keep Ruby looking strong.
That's true. Because it is kind of like a secondary title. So, yeah.
Ruby, the mid-card title.
Right.
And I think the title could fit Jade better. Because Jade's still, I mean, she's still developing. I like how they're developing her, especially like, you know, for a while they were just having her go against old school jobbers to make her look stronger, and I love that stuff.
You're making excellent points here. So it could be very possible Jade Cargill wins. Ruby elevates Jade by letting Jade win. Or Jade. Yeah, I can see it. I can see it. Okay. I need your props on that one. So it better happen now. I was really thinking there was no way around it, but you put out a very good set of points to where it could happen. And actually it should, once I come thinking about
it.
Yeah. Because Cargill don't need the big title now. See, Ruby could hold that big title.
It's too soon. Yeah.
Yeah, Cargill is not there yet. You know. And Cargill better stop wearing them dresses on them photos. I'm telling you that right now. It's just not fair at all. But I'm just saying. I mean, but straight up, Jay is phenomenal. I think she needs more work. I think she does.
She definitely needs more work.
Yeah, I think that mid-card title would do her well. At this time, I think that's where I put it. Let Ruby go for the big one against Britt. That's money right there.
Oh yeah,
Britt versus Soho. That's mad money.
Must run to see that then. Britt and what's her name? Rio, where her name is, the little girl.
Oh God.
The one Joshua Chaparro hates. He doesn't like Rio. I don't know why.
I can't stand her. My biggest problem with her, it's hard for me to, like, look at her and think that she's a legit threat to any of these women, and these women look like giants over her.
Yeah. Yes. That's one thing. I will agree with that. But Riho is just, I'm sorry, she's no. No way. What? See, in charge of the women, and in charge of the women is Omega. Omega's in charge of the women.
Yeah.
I think he's living in Japan a little too much.
Yeah. Definitely.
I was going to say, I always joke, me and Marcus Cummings, I always joke about him, talk about Omega has a Asian fetish. because he has wrestled in Japan for a long time. And Navitola Marcus Cummins, you know, Mega like his Cali rolls and sushi and stuff like that.
Wow,
that's funny.
But I don't mean that to be mean. I don't.
Y'all know I like the joke.
I do. Just like Marcus Cummins calls Chris Jericho sex like Archie Bunker.
That's actually accurate.
But,
I gotta give it to him.
except Jericho, except Archie Bunker doesn't have long hair like Jericho does. But that's a story for another time. But y'all know I don't mean to, you know, when I watch AEW, when I do the thread, I like to joke. I don't mean it in a mean way. I mean it in a humorous way, just like I call Brian Pillman Jr. Joe Exotic Jr., even though he's not related to Joe Exotic, but, you know, that's how I joke.
Wow, you called him Joe Exotic.
I didn't call him Joe Exotic. I like to call Pillman Jr. Joe Exotic Jr. because he and Joe Exotic got the same mullet.
That's how I joke.
I know he's not related to Joe Exotic. Y'all know he's not related to Joe Exotic, but that's how I joke, though.
Right. I don't know.
Y'all see my point.
No, I get your point. It's cool. But.
Hey, I got a question for you guys for AEW.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
What do you guys think about Adam Cole? This whole Adam Cole between the Bucks and Undisputed Era thing they got going. Well, let me rephrase that. With Adam Cole with the Young Bucks and Red Dragon.
Red Dragon? Who's the Red Dragon?
Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly. They used to team together in Ring of Honor back in the day.
That's right.
Kyle O'Reilly, he tweeted something about Red Dragon recently, right, Ty?
Huh?
And did you see his tweet, Kyle O'Reilly's tweet recently where he mentioned Red Dragon
I didn't see it.
I don't remember exactly what he said, but he brought a Red Dragon in a tweet after his AEW debut.
I didn't hear anything about that.
No, he mentioned Red Dragon in a tweet recently. I don't remember exactly what he said, but he mentioned Red Dragon.
Oh, wow. My thing is they need to just beat down the Young Bucks. I mean, make them go to the hospital or something.
But first they need to shave them quarantine beards off.
They need to go. That's the thing. They need to go. They don't need those no beards. I don't care about the hair, the beards, the shoes.
I don't care about the rompers.
They need to go. They just need to disappear. Poof. Disappear. Oh, God, the Young Bucks get on my nerves now. I don't know how. I used to be like, okay, the Young Bucks, all right. Now it's like, dude, everybody's talking about John Cena doing the same thing. God, go.
Yeah.
And it makes no sense.
Who got the washing machine going?
I mean, the matches don't make any type of sense. No type of story. Not like that. The one they did tell a story, that was with FTR. They got out of it so quick, you thought they sneezed. And they holding FTR from having the title. FTR's the best tag team they got. Just admit they're better and give them the titles and let them do it. They get on my nerves. I can't stand them.
I mean, I used to love the Bucks. Like, Ring of Honor used to go to Chicago Ridge, like, years ago. Like, religiously, me, Gary from the group, Marcus, Buckley would go. William Foss would go. We always went to Ring of Honor, and the Bucks was always there, like, every time they went to Chicago Red. I used to love them in Ring of Honor, though, but, yeah, it's just not the same no more with them. And like you said, it is, like, the same stuff over and over with them. It's almost like what Roman Reigns said about John Cena. It's like, this is their position over and over again.
I mean, it's like, God, and it makes no sense. None. No psychological sense whatsoever. It's like, why are you doing this? Why are you kicking out of the triple loop power driver? I mean, you know, you jump 30 feet off of a building and you kick out of two. What the hell? I mean, it got ridiculous, and it was like, nah, I'm cool. I can't do it no more. Young Bucks
okay.
Got on my nerves.
Guys, let me ask you guys this. So y'all know Jeff Hardy got let go from WWE.
Oh,
my question to y'all is, do y'all think he will join his brother Matt in AEW?
Yeah,
why or why not?
Me personally, I mean, I don't know if everybody remember this, though, but they asked Jeff Hardy about a possible Hardy reunion. He said that you never say never, and that it could happen somewhere down the road. And then 2 weeks later, this stuff happened. I know they're saying he didn't do the stuff on purpose to get let go.
But wait a minute, though.
I don't know.
Didn't he want out from WWE on purpose because he wanted to do his alter ego Willow, kind of like how Bray Wyatt did with The Fiend, and Vince said no?
I heard something about that.
And that's why he wanted out?
I mean, that could be. Granted, I'm sorry, Ty, it is your guy, and I know you love Jeff Hardy and everything, though, but the last thing I want to see is Willow.
Yeah, I know.
Really?
Nicole said something about...
I cannot stand Willow. I could take Brother Nero, but I can't stand Willow.
Yeah, I want to see him as Brother Nero, because I don't want to see him. I want to see him as Willow, but he might give kids nightmares.
That laugh irritated the hell out of me. I did not like Willow at all.
Wow.
I don't want to hear kids say, Mommy! I don't want to hear that. Do I want to see him in AEW with his brother Matt? Yes. Because if he goes to AEW, I will be the happiest girl in the world.
Here's a nice thing, too, if there was a Hardy Boy reunion in AEW. I don't really like how they really use the tag teams, and the Hardys reuniting AEW be different than the Briscoes going there. I don't want the Briscoes going there because I don't think there's enough TV time for them. I don't think they get used right. But the Hardy Boys are, it'll be what it is. It'll be their last run. It'll be great for a lot of fans to see them back together. But it's not really going to do anything as far as, like, the actual tag team title scene.
No, I don't see them doing it. They don't need the titles.
No, they don't.
They don't need them at all.
And you still have some good matches with the Hardys to get some of the tag teams there.
True. One tag team in particular that should never go over them, Young Bucks. The tag team that I think that they should actually go over them is Santana and Ortiz.
That's another team that I've been really disappointed with how they used.
They haven't been using them right, honestly. They haven't.
And the crazy part about it is when AEW first started, they tag team division was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Well, guess who's in charge of the tag team?
The Bucks are you?
Young Bucks.
Oh, God.
So to keep looking like the best, we're going to keep everybody else on money. Yeah, Young Bucks don't. Young Bucks is too much. That's why they don't need any control. They've already proven that they can't be trusted with that control and build people up.
I was never really a fan of, like, current talent being in charge and being in control anyway, though.
Well, let me ask y'all this. Who do y'all think would be a better fit to be in charge of the tag team, of the tag team division of AEW?
They got two of the all-time best tag team wrestlers, former tag team wrestlers in the company, though. Why wouldn't you have Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard overlooking it?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely, yes. They would not be managing nobody. That's what they would be doing if they was under my wing.
Yeah.
You tell
exactly.
them to do what you're doing. You doing the matchups. You doing it. Yeah. Them two would be the ones doing it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't understand how the young clucks could, you know. That they should have been going to them first, like, hey, dude, we got these spots open. We want to build our tag team division. Come on through.
I mean, the other person, AEW, that I would like, if, let's say that Arn and Tully don't want to do it, I would take Billy off of TV and maybe have Billy Gunn overlook it.
Billy, I don't know. Billy, honestly, is a very good singles wrestler. I think in tag team, I think it was more of his brother that was the tag team man. I mean,
I could see that. Because, like, he's always, like, he has great tag team success, but, yeah, I could see that.
Yeah. He's an excellent singles wrestler. I've been on a couple of shows with the guy. He's got a mind out of the world. But you know how somebody could talk about singles competitive, but you could tell, but if it comes to tag team, they're a little like, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Yeah, but Billy is just the dude. He's an encyclopedia. But
I've heard that about him, yeah.
Yeah. But we got a couple of minutes left. We do got WWE day one.
Okay, can I bring up something great that I'm really, really enjoying about WWE before we really jump into like the WWE picture and Hulk?
Yes.
I absolutely love the feud on SmackDown with Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar because of Paul Heyman.
Oh, I like it too.
Like, I look forward to SmackDown because of Paul Heyman.
Yes. Yes. Oh, hell yeah.
WWE is doing a lot of things wrong, but Paul Heyman is making SmackDown.
Oh yeah, that is a mind that I would love to sit down and talk to.
Oh my God, absolutely, absolutely, and the way he transformed his character—I mean, like, no, I don't think anybody could get Roman Reigns over the way Roman Reigns is over right now if it wasn't for Paul Heyman. And his character is completely different than it was with Brock Lesnar.
That's true.
And then him to tease both, like the fact that he can do both at the same time is incredible too. Like he just could flip a switch like that.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. That is definitely true. I mean, nobody can play that role. And I don't think nobody could even fit in that role as well as he could. Bobby Heenan could probably do it. You don't think Bobby Heenan could have?
I don't know. I mean, because this, I've never seen anybody do it like Heenan. Heenan's probably the closest one that could probably do it.
Yeah, you got a point. You got a point. All right, let's go over this darn car for day one. We only got a couple of minutes left.
Okay.
In the preview, one of the preview matches is going to be Drew McIntyre versus Madcap Moss. Really? Do we got to discuss this one? I mean,
no,
stuff.
I don't
want to
discuss it.
That's going to be a squash match.
Yeah,
I'm
with Tony.
That's a squash match indeed.
We'll need to talk about that one.
Let me apologize. That's not a pre-show match. It just had preview here. I thought it was a pre-show match. Sorry.
It should definitely.
Next one, Edge versus The Miz.
Edge.
I think Miz is going to cheat to win.
Yeah, I think Miz might win because Maryse might get involved. It's possible.
Actually, I think they're going to try to go for the angle of Miz wife, Maryse versus Beth Phoenix. I think they're trying to put
yeah.
them
together. I was thinking about that one night where it's like, okay, if Edge and Miz are feuding with Beth Phoenix not being on NXT as commentator no more, have her, you know, align with her husband Edge with the feud with Miz and Maryse, you know?
Yeah, I can see it happening.
Yeah.
I see in the match Maryse is going to jump in. She's definitely going to interfere. She's going to – actually,
I think
Miz is going to beat him down. I think Miz is actually going to cheat, beat him down, and she's going to be smacking him or something. And that's when Beth Phoenix is going to come out of nowhere, do the same.
Yeah.
They're going to start. I just see that whole scenario going down. I'm going to take The Miz. SmackDown Tag Team Championship match, The Usos versus The New Day, part 68.
What?
Part 68. I love that.
I thought it reached
part 70. Oh, my bad. Yeah, it's probably 70. I just lost count. I mean, I'm sorry. If you don't have a tag team division, that you can have different people go for the title. Why the heck have a tag team division? Get rid of
it. The fact that these two teams always fight each other just shows how weak the tag team division is.
God.
I'm actually going to go with the New Day on this one. I think the New Day is going to win the title.
No. Usos taking it. They're taking it home.
Yeah, I think the Usos are going to take it. They're gonna keep.
I want to see the Usos facing Roman Reigns on Friday, trying to explain how they lost a tag team title.
No, I got a little twist, and I'll say that when we go a little further in the car. But I got a little something that you're gonna be like, huh? Okay. But I got an idea about something. But I see the Usos winning this one. I'm taking the Usos.
And it's funny. I kind of got a little twist too, though. Pick mine when we get to the main event.
Exactly. We might have the same idea here. Okay. The Raw Women's Championship match. That you know what, Becky Lynch versus Liv Morgan. I'm sorry, Liv ain't get it. Even though I can't stand Becky.
I know that's the hard part about it. But I'm gonna pick Liv Morgan anyway. Because I can't stand that bitch, Becky. And I think Liv deserve at least a mini title run. Even if she loses a title like Monday Night or Raw to Becky Lynch or whatever, Liv deserves to beat Becky Lynch. They already dropped the ball with like how they building up Toni Storm and put that on SmackDown last week or this past day or so. But I'm picking Liv, even though Becky is going to keep her title.
Ty?
Sorry, Becky, I'm Team Liv. I said what I said. Y'all leave me alone.
Yes!
I hope she does. But I just know the reality of it.
Sorry, Becky, but
yeah, I mean the reality is, yeah, but
All right, WWE Championship Fatal 4-Way match. Seth Rollins versus Kevin Owens versus Bobby Lashley and the champion Big E.
Oh, man, this is hard.
Well, while you think about it, I can get my picks. Smart money, in my opinion, the person that should win it, and I say should win it because you never know what WWE booking, Bobby Lashley should walk out of there with the title.
Yes.
He's the most dominant person in the match. They've been sitting on Big E as a champion. Put the title back on somebody dominant that you're going to showcase as being dominant. The man went through all three of them to get into the match.
That's true. Ty, your pick?
I got Big E retaining. I don't see, like I said, I want Big E to win, but I want
Big E to win, too.
But I'm sticking with my pick, and Big E's going to retain.
I'm going in and saying Bobby Lashley. I just think that they don't think Big E can hold the title and get ratings up, so they're just going to cut the cord now. Bobby Lashley's going to go ahead and get that title, and then they're going to have him probably go against Kevin Owens.
I can see
now,
that.
One thing I want to add with the 12 Days of Christmas Battle Royal, I think Ricochet should have won it.
Oh, without a doubt.
Because
yeah,
because I watched it via Hulu the other night because I missed the Charlotte-Tony Storm match. And I think Ricochet should have won that Battle Royal. It would have been him versus Shinsuke Nakamura and not that fool Sami Zayn.
And that would have been a better match.
Yeah, it would have been
way better
match than Nakamura and Sami Zayn. He needs to go back to the Capitol and storm it.
No, he won't. No, nobody needs to do that again. No, I can't even joke about it. No.
I'm just kidding. I'm kidding, but Sami does look like one of those protesters from the Capitol. The storm the Capitol.
Oh, yeah, that's the point. Yeah, that's his gimmick.
I don't condone anybody storming the Capitol. Don't do it. That's a big fat disclaimer. But that's what Sami looks like.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
The main event, and where I think the twist is going to happen, Roman Reigns takes on Brock Lesnar.
Or as you like to call him, Hillbilly Lesnar.
Yeah, them overalls don't help. They don't.
Lesnar.
Uh-oh, we got 90 seconds left. Make your pick.
I just said Lesnar, right?
Yeah, I said Lesnar.
I say Paul Heyman is going to inadvertently help Roman Reigns keep the title and get back with the Bloodlines.
No, I
but
see Lesnar taking it.
Fire him?
Yep. Lesnar's
he fired him.
Take it.
And this is how he's going to get back in. My whole thing is like, and especially after the Usos lose their title and Paul Heyman helps Roman keep his title, even if it's accidental, Paul Heyman will be back in and he'll be mad at the Usos. But it keeps that feud going as well. The head of
the
table walking up the
chair. The way I see it is, I think that Roman Reigns is going to end up actually losing the title, and he has to explain why he doesn't have a title, but the Usos does have a title. Do have a title.
I like that too, though. It's kind of funny. We kind of had the same thing going, but with a different person losing.
Yep. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to FTW Future Focus. Hey, look out for on Facebook for the next episode. It will be next week, but look out for the link on Facebook. On behalf of Ty, Tony, myself, and Rob, we're out of here. Have a good Christmas, and we'll talk to you in the new year.
You know it's all about life.